The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about adding some time at Universal onto a Disney World trip. That's coming up on this, episode 26 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com, and I am happy to have you here today. You can find me, in addition to this weekly podcast, you can find me on the website. I used to say that you could find me there twice a week, but now I have reduced it to once a week, as each post now takes me 2 to 3 days to create. And so I have reduced the overall frequency to increase the quality of those posts. You can find me there as well. And on social media, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook page, etc. Speaking of the website, I did want to take a second to mention that the most recent post that just went up on the website was a comparison of sources that you could buy Disney World park tickets. Now, a lot of people, if they want to price things out a la carte and get the best deals, will be looking for this type of information. And I used to have a source that I sent people to because I believe that it was the best source. And in doing this comparison, I discovered that there is a source that is even better. And so if you'd like to check that out, I have taken about 6 different sources for tickets, including AAA, Disney World itself, some wholesalers, etc. And then I've broken it down by every single type of park ticket, base ticket with park hopper, water parks, fun and more, and then 1 day in length, 2 days in length, all the way up till 10. So it's a big chart. It compares lots of different sources and you can see where you can get the best deal on tickets. There have been some ticket wholesalers that have approached me to promote their tickets on my website, and I never would do it because I knew that they were not offering the best deal. But after doing this exercise, I did come across a ticket wholesaler that is indeed offering the best deal. So pretty soon I will be promoting their business on the website, knowing that they do give the best value on ticket prices for readers. So that was an interesting finding from doing this exercise. But if you'd like to check that out, I will link it in the show notes. And as always, I do have to mention iTunes. Now, last time I mentioned that I had a goal of getting to 100 ratings in iTunes, and that was just sort of a milestone that I have heard other people talk about wanting to reach, and I thought, wouldn't that be fun if I got to? And as of moments ago, that milestone has been reached. So thank you so much to everybody who has taken the time to leave a rating and or a review. I appreciate it. We now have 100. And here is one of those. The person's username is acruise41. The subject is awesome. It says, love this. I've been reading the website for over a year, but decided today to listen to the podcast. I've been missing out. I'm trying to catch up now. So appreciate you taking the time to leave that 5-star rating plus the review. And indeed, there are people that read the website but don't listen to the podcast and vice versa. So if you are in the listen to the podcast only camp, I highly suggest that you go to the website as well to learn even more information. So as I mentioned in the intro, we're going to talk today about adding Universal onto a Disney World trip. And I have to preface it by saying that I am not a Universal expert, not by a long shot. Almost all of our Disney World trips have been to Disney World and we stay on site and that's it. However, last summer when we did a trip with our whole family, my family of 4, my kids, who are big Harry Potter fans, they suggested that we also go to Universal for the first time. And so we did. We spent a week at Disney World and we spent 3 days at Universal. So all of my advice is based on just from a first timer's perspective with Universal. And obviously I'm familiar with Disney World trips, but you know, this was a sort of a different ball game, and I liked some things about Universal and I disliked some things about Universal. So I'll just kind of go through the basics of what it's like to visit Universal and give you some thoughts about, you know, what I liked and didn't like, and maybe that will help you decide if it's something that you are interested in doing for your trip. So let's start with some basics. First of all, Universal Studios is the theme park is made up of similar things to Disneyland in California in that there are two theme parks in it, and one of those theme parks shares the name of the overall resort. So in California, Disneyland, one of the parks there is called Disneyland. And at Universal in Orlando, one of the parks is called Universal. So you've got two parks, Universal and Islands of Adventure. There's also a shopping area called City Walk, and there are currently three on-site hotels. There's soon to be four. And so it's very, very similar in composition to Disneyland. Now, the funny thing is that on our trip, I didn't have a concept of how big everything was. And so I sort of had Disney World in my mind and everything's spread out. And to get between the parks, you have to take transportation. And so I asked the shuttle driver, how do I get from one park to the other? And he kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And he was like, you walk. And it's true. Once the shuttle delivers you to the parks, everything's right there. I mean, you can walk to either park. You can walk to City Walk. And so it's very close together, much like Disneyland is. And the on-site hotels, there are currently three, and there's about to be four, as I mentioned. The fourth one does not offer the same perks as the other three that have existed for a while. So, but for the three that currently exist right now, they are kind of on par with Disney World Deluxe Resorts. You know, they're nice hotels. And when you stay in those, you get a whole list of perks. And one of those is unlimited express passes. Now, express passes are the equivalent to fast passes. And at Universal, they're actually a little bit more convenient because when you have express passes as a result of being an on-site guest, or because you've paid to get express passes, which is something that off-site guests can do, you actually enter a separate line, but you get to do it immediately, and you have an unlimited amount of these. So, you know, fast passes, you're limited to three per day, and you have to return to a ride during a certain window, 1 hour window. But at Universal, you actually can get in the line right away and you can do this as many times as you want to at all of the attractions. And most attractions do offer express passes. Now, people staying on site also have use of on-site transportation, which is either water taxis or a shuttle, or they're close enough that you could actually walk within 15 minutes or less to the parks. We found the water taxis to be more convenient than the shuttle buses. They just don't come that often. So you have that when you stay on site. You also get early admission to Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which is located in Islands of Adventure. And that is the most popular attraction as of right now. And even showing up early, we actually had quite a wait because there's so many people, I guess, on site that want to use it. And we got in line. It was our longest wait of the whole trip was Wizarding World of Harry Potter. For people that are staying on site, I think you should take advantage of this early entry. For people staying off site, if you wait till the end of the day, the lines supposedly dissipate. And so that would be a good option for you to avoid the crazy lines. Another perk of staying on site is that you get priority seating in the restaurants. And can I just tell you that the restaurants there are amazing. And they have been given awards for having the best food in theme parks. And it's not even very expensive. So they do have a lot of good places to eat. And finally, the last on-site perk is that you can charge things to your room and have things delivered to your room if you are staying on site. Now, that fourth hotel will be open. It's called Cabana Bay, and it will be open the end of March, I believe it is. And it is on site, but it doesn't have the perks that the other hotels do, such as unlimited express passes. And I don't think it has early admission to Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It is, however, less expensive to stay there, and it has lots of perks, like it has a bowling alley, I think it is. So, you know, it's a fun place to be. It just doesn't have the same perks as the other on-site resorts do. The Let's see. I mentioned the express passes earlier, and one thing I need to point out is that the Wizarding World of Harry Potter does not offer an express pass. And so although it is available on most rides, that's not one of them. So that is the one that you really, really have to plan ahead of time for, because it's so popular and doesn't give you an express pass. Now, there is a new Harry Potter section that's going to be open in the other park in Universal, in its Diagon Alley. And there will be the Hogwarts train that goes between the two Harry Potter sections in the two parks. And so that will, I assume, also be quite popular when it opens this summer. And so I recommend, because of that if you decide to visit, that you get the type of tickets that allow you to go between parks. We did not do that because at the time that wasn't necessary. But if you want to go between the two parks and ride the Hogwarts Express, you're going to have the type of ticket that allows you to go between parks to be able to do that. Now, if you're going to add Time Universal onto a Disney World trip, I recommend doing 2 days at Universal. And we actually covered each park in about a half day. So, you know, for people that are really ambitious, they could do them both in the same day. But for a slightly less crazy pace, I would recommend taking 2 days there. And if you plan to stay on site, then I would recommend that you go there first, stay at Universal for a couple days, and then move to Disney World and complete your trip that way. And I think mostly, because although Universal is really fun, it doesn't have quite the magic that Disney does. And so I think that it's nice to start at Universal, have lots of fun there, move to Disney World, and finish your trip in that way. I do recommend that only the people with older kids take a time out of their time in Orlando to visit Universal. And that's because the rides there are much more thriller rides, or have a height requirement that's more than you would normally see at Disney World. And there weren't that many little kids there when we were there. And, you know, there's a lot of coasters, a lot of thrillers, et cetera. So I think it would be a little bit of a waste of time unless your kids were big enough to be able to take advantage. They do have so Disney World has Rider Swap, which allows parents to take turns riding rides while little kids wait with the other parent. And Universal actually offers this waiting area at a lot of the rides just for this purpose. So you can kind of do the same thing, but Universal actually gives you a separate area just to wait at the ride. And so if you do end up taking kids that can't ride, you do have that option to wait with them in the waiting room at some of the bigger rides. There are some tickets available if you want to stay at Disney World and then go over to Universal. There are special kind of tickets available. I will link to them in the show notes, but essentially what happens is you buy Universal tickets, and then transportation to get to Universal from Disney World is included. And I believe that transportation is provided by MEARS, M-E-A-R-S, which is the biggest shuttle transportation company in Orlando. And so, you know, that can be super convenient. If you don't want to leave Disney World, you can just, you know, head over there for the day and then come back on the shuttle. I do have some touring plans on the site that I will link to in the show notes. And those are helpful so that you can avoid the lines. Obviously, that's the whole point of having touring plans. And they don't include, obviously, the new section that's going to be opening this summer. So once that happens, I will edit them to include that. But they are accurate as of right now. And I wanted to take a minute just to share kind of my thoughts on Universal, because everything I've said to you so far has pretty much been like matter of fact, this is how it works type of stuff. So my husband and I are huge theme park freaks. Our honeymoon was to Cedar Point in Ohio, where we rode a dozen roller coasters in a day. And we had season passes to the local Six Flags here. Obviously, we go to Disney World. So I was looking forward to going to Universal. But because it's located in Orlando, the comparisons to Disney World are always there, even though they're completely different locations. And so my thoughts about being a first timer there were that, first of all, it was fun to be a first timer for the first time in a long time. I haven't been to a new theme park in a long time. Every place that I've been, including Disney World, has been somewhere I've been multiple times. And so I always know what to expect. But, you know, going to Universal was fun because I would get in line and not really know what it was going to be like. And so that was really, really fun. I did also like having thriller rides. You know, Disney World is not particularly known for having thriller rides. They have a few coasters, but, you know, considering the size of Disney World, the number of thrillers that they have is just not huge. And so it was really fun to, you know, get to experience big coasters and going upside down and that kind of stuff for the first time in a long time. It was a little bit difficult for anybody who has motion sickness. I think Universal would be a big problem. The entire Universal park itself is not entire, but a huge part of it is indoor simulators. And so you get, when you go to get in line, there's kind of a pre-show thing that you watch. Then you go in, you put on 3D glasses, you watch the show or ride the ride, and it would be really, really difficult for somebody that had motion sickness. And so while it worked out really well for us because we were there during a time with lots of rain, and so we were inside at all these attractions avoiding the rain, it would be really difficult if you struggled with motion sickness. And as I mentioned earlier, I do recommend having older kids because we saw families with little kids and little kids didn't get to do very much. And so that would be a huge bummer. But I did think Universal lacked the magic of Disney World. And so although they, you know, never claimed to have Disney magic, it was, you know, a bit of a disappointment that way. But it was fun. It's not something that I want to do every year. I don't plan on adding Universal to a Disney World trip anytime soon. But it is something that I can see doing every so often, especially as they have new sections that open up. And we want to check those out, especially for the Harry Potter loving kids in our household. So I hope that kind of helps to give you an overview of Universal and help you decide if you want to add it onto your trip. As I mentioned, I do have a post about Universal on the site, and I will link to that in the show notes if you'd like to check out that, including the touring plans to help you navigate without the lines. So before we wrap up today, I do have a quick tip of the day, and this could be related to taking an off-site trip to Universal or anywhere else. And my quick tip of the day is about renting a car while you're staying on site at Disney World. Now, if you decide that there are some places you'd like to go that will require a car, but you don't need it for your whole trip, you can do it on site. Now, there are offices for Alamo and National at the Walt Disney World Car Care Center, and they will send shuttles to your Disney World resort to pick you up and take you to their offices to get your car. And I will include this phone number in the show notes, but if you are in a spot where you can write this down, I'll give it to you right now as well. That number is 407-824-3470. And you can call that to arrange for your car, and make sure you call ahead of time so that they can plan to send a shuttle to pick you up at your resort. And this sort of, you know, this ties into today's topic because you can take a car that you've rented to Universal if you would like, if you don't want to get a shuttle that takes you between Disney World and Universal. You could obviously rent a car to go lots of places, including the beach or other theme parks in the area. I will also include a link in the show notes to a section of mousesavers.com that talks more about renting cars and gives you some tips on finding the best deals for renting a car. So look for that in the show notes. And I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the show notes I have mentioned, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode26, and that is the number 26. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.